So please welcome Lorelai.
Thank you. Well, thinking about taxing things, international travel, taxing, working retail, taxing, but I would say kid wrangling is probably the most taxing of all. I think of the beauty and tragedy of having children and the beauty and tragedy of not having children. I am in the second category. I always thought that I would have children, but after a year of marriage, my husband pointed out that they're very messy and very loud, and that they take a lot of energy and money. And then he also pointed out that there's plenty of us, and the world is going to hell in a handbasket anyway. But the clincher for me was the mental illness in his family. That really convinced me that probably we didn't have to have children. So I still wanted to have some sort of an experience of that. So after the bookstores that I worked in, the independent bookstores, closed in this town, a friend of mine needed some care for her son, and so I sort of fell into what I alternately call being a paid grandma, a child whisperer, or kid wrangling. So mostly it feels like kid wrangling. The first boy that I had, and then also I thought, coming up here, and we all know hearing people's stories about their pets and their children can be somewhat tiresome, but I thought I would take a chance, and since they're not mine, that it might be more acceptable. So the first child that I, like I said, I fell into watching just by chance. The man that I moved up here with is black, and he came to visit me, and this child was pre-verbal, and he went into his bedroom and got a basketball and came out and handed my boyfriend the basketball. I thought that was quite a sign of this area. That was his only connection. So as we all know, children are not daffodils, so they're all very different, and their families are also quite varied in their ideas of how they should be raised and what they should do. So I've had quite a group. One boy whose family's from Quebec, he was very sensitive, and I was pushing a double stroller up a hill and rather huffing and puffing. That was another subject I thought about, which is taxing, was I was smoking at the time. So I'm pushing this double stroller, and he stands up and turns around and says, "Lorelai, are you having a hard time?" It was at that point I thought maybe I should give up my habit, when a three-year-old is sensitive to how I'm doing. He also was very sensitive to cuisine. We typically would sit outside and we would all have our own food, and I happened to be having tortellini one day, and he turned to me and said, "Lorelai, have you no tortellini for the children?" So that became a line that I've used quite frequently. It's like, oh, that's our level of pain and suffering. No tortellini for the children. But the most taxing child that I had was an older meaning four and a half. And she was quite... not so much gifted as astute and privileged, I guess is the word. We one day, because I'm who I am, we counted her 128 stuffed animals, and I tried to convince her that she really didn't need 23 different dogs, but each one had a very special relationship to her, and so. That was taxing for me, not to be able to get rid of any of the dogs, but she was a real challenge. I They lived at the end of a street in a cul-de-sac with only three houses after their house. And she asked me if she could cross the street. And I said, sure, if you look both ways and there's no cars coming, you can cross the street. And she said, well, the last babysitter I had let me cross the street by myself, and I told my parents, and we had to let her go. So I told her that would not be a problem, that surely I could find another family that I was suited for. I would stay overnight with them also. I always thought, oh, it would be great to be an international traveling nanny, but I realized that I was kind of too old for that. I couldn't quite acquiesce to all of the demands that would probably be called for. But I did stay overnight with them, and I had two of my friends who are artists over, and she had a painting in her room. She was showing them her room, and it was like of fairies, you know, like something like this. And she told them that she had painted it. And I said, oh, you know, actually it says Laura Rose on there. And without missing a beat, she told me, oh, well, she helped me. And so she was quite confident about that. I at another time, I had other friends over, and I like to say, there, I don't know if you know the books, there's a, if you give a moose a muffin, if you give a mouse a cookie. I was thinking about writing a book called If You Give a Nanny a Drink. And so one evening when I was caring for them, she came in, and this is four and a half, put her hand on her hip, and she said, tell me that's not Chardonnay. And I said, whoa. I said, no, actually, it's a Robert Hall Cabernet. And I had never been criticized for my wine taste by a four-and-a-half-year-old. So anyway, it's I am retiring. Everybody probably will be happy to hear in June, because I feel like I've gotten the experience now. I had eight great aunts, and five of them didn't have children, and they would always tell my mother how to raise us. And so I realize I have become that person who has no children and knows just how to do it.